Hey, if I haven't met you before, my name is Ben. I'm pretty involved with our youth and our young adults here at church. And I want to tell you about something that happened on Friday night, right? And it kind of struck me, and it's also almost reshaped where this message is going in the last 2 days. So on Friday night, we had our last youth night for the year, right? So we run a youth program every Friday night during the school term, and we finished off on Friday. And because it's Christmas time, we decided to tell the Christmas story at youth. And me and another leader named Mitch, we were in our discussion group with some boys, and we asked them, like, how do you feel about this Christmas story? You know, the story of Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. What's your response to this story? And, you know, a few of them had different responses. Some of the guys thought, yeah, that's a cool story. Yeah, like, it's great. Others didn't really show much attention to it, probably. But for a bunch of the boys, and a significant amount of them, they said that they actually had no reaction to this story at all. That was their reaction. They went, I don't know. I don't really have a reaction at all. And the reason why is because they've heard this story so many times. Year after year, they've heard the story of Nativity. They've heard the Christmas story. And so they're at the point now where they don't really feel anything about it. They have no reaction to this story at all. And look, maybe you don't know the story, but I'm willing to bet that a lot of the people in this room have heard the story of Christmas quite a few times before. And I wonder if this is a true reality for some of us too. The story of Christmas is one that for many of us is not new. Maybe when we first heard it, we were amazed by the wonder of it, but now it feels like another one of those old stories you hear but really pay very little attention to. This story of Mary and Joseph. Now, is this going to work? It's not. That's a shame. Oh, there we go. Was that me or was that you? That was you. All right. Well, we're just going to have to see how this goes. The story of Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem and having their baby in a manger is one that's been told for centuries. Often in our houses, that was me this time, right? Yes, there we go. Often in our houses, we have these little dioramas of this image. And if you're like my family, then maybe you can't be bothered to take it down. So it actually sits on your bookshelf all year round. This story becomes reduced to a little diorama in our houses. What was once the greatest story ever known is now often seen as another cute little thing that we hang on the Christmas tree, alongside eating heaps of food, spending lots of money, and watching too many Christmas-themed rom-coms. But today I want to invite you to join with me and to pause. To pause from thinking about that next Christmas meal you have to organize. Take this moment to pause from thinking about that last gift that you have to get for that person. Take this moment this morning to soak in the magnificence and wonder of this story that has been told for generations. Let me pray for us. Lord, we've been singing songs all morning about how amazing you are, about how amazing this Christmas story is. And so I pray that as we gather together this morning, that this will be a moment where we can pause, can take a breath, and remember the significance of this story. Remember the significance of your love and the greatest gift that you've given us, this gift of joy. Amen. So, let me take you through the story of Christmas. Now, this story is recorded in Luke chapter 2, and our story begins with Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem from the town of Nazareth. They were pledged to be married to each other, and yet Mary was heavily pregnant. Why were they traveling a multiple-day journey when Mary was so close to giving birth? Seems ridiculous. Well, the context for our story is that the Israelites were under the rule of another empire, the Romans. The Israelites were helpless and defeated. For centuries, this nation was under the authority and reign of the rulers of other nations. And on top of this, the Israelites were increasingly disobedient and living far and far away from the way that God had called them to live. So not only were they overrun with their own disobedience to God, but they were overrun by other nations ruling over them. the only glimmer of hope that they had to hold on to was a promise from their God that a new king would come, one who would save them and would be closer to God than ever before. And they had to wait for centuries for this king to come. And while they waited, the Israelites were forced to follow under the rule of the Roman Empire. There was a decree across the Roman Empire about new taxes, and so everyone had to get registered in the town of their family line. And so Mary and Joseph find themselves traveling to Bethlehem. In our second image, we see that when they arrived at Bethlehem, the only place they could find that was free was a stable, a place for animals to sleep. It was here that Mary gave birth to their son, Jesus. Now just imagine for a moment that you're in that room with them. It's dark. Maybe the room is lit by a flickering torch or two, and the light from the moon shines through some cracks in the walls and roof. Mud and hay litter the ground of the stable, possibly with various farm animals sleepily populating the corners of the room too. Mary, a teenager, is in pain as she goes through childbirth. Joseph sits by her, holding her hand and helping her through it. The baby is born and lays in a manger, a feeding trough that animals eat from. I don't know what you were imagining, but for me, this is not a glamorous scene. It's rough. It's dirty. It's makeshift, right? It's pretty much as humble as you get. Well, as Luke records the story, the scene then cuts to a group of shepherds in a nearby field. Now, shepherds in that time were pretty common, and certainly weren't highly regarded. They were the lowly, you know, the nobodies of society. And as they lay in the fields, lit only by the moon, keeping watch of their sheep from predators and surviving in the cold winds, suddenly an angel of the Lord appears to them. Now I imagine a bright light piercing through the dark night sky, a powerful light. The Bible says that the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen the glory of the Lord, but the shepherds did, and they were terrified. That was their reaction. But the angel said to them, in either a calming, soothing voice, or maybe it was a bit more of a dooming, baritone voice, I'm not sure, you decide. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And he is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Do not be afraid. I bring good news that causes great joy for all people." You see, the long-awaited king is finally here. The king that's been promised for centuries has come, and he will save them. But not only is this king sent by God, the angel is declaring that this king is God. He is the Lord. As a church, we've recently been looking at the images of eternity and heaven as they're found in the Bible. And we see that while on earth there may be rulers with great wealth and power, they actually can't stand a chance against our God. Because our God sits enthroned above the universe. Picture this, the Bible describes God as sitting on a throne that is surrounded by rainbows and gold and lightning and thunder and elders laying their crowns before him. This king that the Israelites worshipped is far greater than any of the kings and rulers and emperors that the world had to offer. How has God then, the ultimate king, decided to come to earth? God stepped down and humbled himself to become not only a human being, but a baby born in a stable, surrounded by mud and dirt and hay. What does this show? It shows that the one who is sovereign over all, who sits enthroned over the entire universe, our Creator and the Most High, This God is also so incredibly humble. He's humble. He's generous. See, he's humble because he came to earth, and he's generous because he wanted to. Think about it. God didn't have to come to earth at all. There was nothing that made him do this. He humbled himself to become a human being born in the most humble of situations simply because he wanted to. He wanted to come and save his people. He wanted them. He wanted us to know the good news that would cause great joy for all people. That the one who sits enthroned above the universe stepped down to join us on earth so that we could know him and know that he is for us and loves us dearly. Well, suddenly in the story, even more angels and heavenly beings appeared alongside the first angel. And they were all praising God together and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Can you imagine that? One can only assume hundreds, thousands of angels shining brilliantly in the sky, declaring God's praises. Well, the shepherds hurried off to meet this new king, and they found Mary, Joseph, and the baby who was lying in a manger. And what I love about this story is the reactions of the shepherds to Jesus. See, the angel said that the news of Jesus' birth would cause great joy in all the people. And the shepherds show that from the very first moment of seeing him. We're told in the story that as soon as they saw Jesus, they went around spreading the word of all that had happened. And they were praising and glorifying God for days later. See, this is a story of joy. The shepherds understood that. Because Jesus came to earth, we are given the opportunity to know our King and our Creator. Because Jesus came to earth, we are set free from our sin and disobedience. We're set free from the darkness in the world, and we're given everlasting freedom in him. Because Jesus came to earth, we know that we have more to look forward to beyond this world, a place and a home with our Heavenly Father. Because Jesus came to earth, we know that there are no exceptions to God's love. Remember that the message that the king had come to earth, this message of magnificence, was first given to the shepherds, the lowly. All are welcome. There are no outcasts in God's kingdom. See, this story is a story of joy because it shows that the great and magnificent God loves us so much that he was willing to humble himself and become like us so that we might know him and love him and follow him. This is no ordinary story. This is a story that brings great joy. This is a story that tells us about the greatest gift that was given to us. And that's Jesus. Jesus is the greatest gift that brings true, everlasting joy. So my question for you this morning and this Christmas season is, what's your reaction to this story? How do you feel about this story? How do you feel about this greatest gift of joy that's been given to us? Let me pray for us. God, thank you for your gift of joy. Thank you for the joy that we have in you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I can't believe that you would humble yourself in such a way. Not only would you come to earth as a human being, but in honestly the most humble way I can imagine. And I want to thank you for what that shows us about who you are. You're almighty and powerful and yet humble, gentle, and generous. And so, Lord, I want to thank you for this gift that you've given us this Christmas. God, I pray that you would help us to see this story with new eyes. And help us to receive this gift of joy that you've given. In your name I pray. Amen.